Please turn this morning in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Parts of this psalm are very well known, and the part that we're going to read this morning is very well known. Our subject for today, we continue with God's ultimate. And our subject today is God's ultimate guide to life and living. Hallelujah. God's ultimate guide to life and to living. God's word. And Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Question. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Hallelujah. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise the Lord. In this day that we live, a day that it seems that everything is stacked against the Christian, against those of us who believe in the standards of the Word of God, everything is against us, the media, the television, the standards of this nation have dropped so far that what was unacceptable even 10 years ago is now acceptable and considered to be normal. And we have to say that the only way that you and I can keep our thinking straight is through meditation on the Word of God. There are so many ways today being thrust upon us as a society, so many different ways, so many different thoughts, so many different ideas, so many different standards. But the Word of God has never changed and never will change. It might have changed its translation a little bit, it might have changed its wording, but it means the same and it will always mean the same. And the standards in God's word are absolute. And the only way that we can keep our thinking straight in today's society is by meditation on this word. We need to know what the Bible says. And we need to know what the Bible also says. We need a good working knowledge of God's word. It's the only way to survive in today's society. Because pressures are coming at us from all directions. And there are certain things in the Word of God that we cannot apologize for. We cannot take out, we cannot remove, even though they are inconvenient to today's thinking. We have to hold on to these truths. Otherwise, we throw everything out. As soon as ever you start removing things from the scriptures, you've taken all its power away. You know, we were looking for a wedding card for Frank and Sonia, who, praise the Lord, got married on Wednesday. Hallelujah. They're not with us this morning. They're visiting family. We were looking for a wedding card for Frank and Sonia in Asda. And you know now in Asda you can buy wedding cards with two men holding hands on the front and two ladies holding hands on the front. That's the standard that we've reached as a nation. And of course, we're told that this is normal and acceptable life. But the Word of God has something different to say about that. If you don't believe me, read the book of Romans. Have a look at that. See what God says about such practices. He calls it abominable. It's an abomination to God when things like that. And yet we have, as a nation, we have taken the things that God condemns in the scripture. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped out by God, by fire from on heaven, for such practices. And yet we have taken those things now and made them completely acceptable and part of society, to the point now where you can buy a card congratulating somebody on their same-sex marriage. And our major stores are stocking those cards. Now, I can get into deep trouble for saying this, because you're then accused of homophobia and all these other things are thrown at you, and you're in danger of falling foul of the police. Isn't that sad? That's where we've got to as a nation. That the Word of God has been thrust aside completely. The Word of God that this nation's legal and judicial system was built on has been thrust aside, and men would prefer the lies of Satan to the truth of God's word. But the problem is that even for you and I as Christian believers, because we are so soaked in the society that we're part of, it can even begin to creep into our thinking if we're not careful. And that's why King David, all those years ago, asks the question, or the psalmist asks the question, I'm not sure whether it was David or not, but he asks the question, how can a young man or a young lady keep their way pure? And the answer is, by living according to the standards of the Word of God. Anything less than that is sin. And there's no way around that. There's no nice way of saying that. That's just what Jesus said. It's very difficult today because we deal with situations all the time that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we would not have had to deal with as Christians. But we have to abide by God's word. Because as soon as ever we compromise on one thing, then everything else is compromised as well. That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. And the psalmist there says, I seek you with all my heart. And that has to be our aim as believers this morning, is that we seek God with everything that we have, everything. Jesus said that the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is likewise, to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we keep those commands, then we are not going to fall far short, are we? If we can love God with everything that we have, and everything that we are, and put him first in our life, seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things are going to fall into place. And our thinking will be kept pure. Even in those days, the psalmist says, do not let me stray from your commandments. Even in those days, there was pressure on God's people to conform. And the psalmist says, let me meditate. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart. And that's where God's word needs to be. We need to be so soaked in his word that it's not just in our thinking, it's not just in our brain, but it actually becomes very part of us. As it was with the prophet, where he had to eat the scroll. Eat the word. And he said it was like honey to my mouth, but it became bitter in his stomach. But the word of God will always be sweet. Hallelujah. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. And so the word of God will always do us good. But we can't pick and choose. We can't take bits and ignore other bits. Ah, praise the Lord. That I might not sin against you. The scripture is our guidebook. It is our book for life and for living. For good life and good living. Not bad life. Good life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and that in abundance. So he's not trying to keep us down. He's not trying to keep us under the thumb. He's not trying to keep us under control. He wants us to have a real life, a satisfied life, a full life, a blessed life, an abundant life. That is the will of God for you and I. But he knows that we won't have that abundance if we compromise with sin. You cannot walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I know I tried to do it for a few years as a teenager. From leaving school, well, really, from 16 to 18, I knew the Lord, had been baptized in the Spirit. And yet I knew that as well there was a tremendous pull towards the world for me, particularly in those 2 years when I was in the sixth form at school. I wanted to be able to do some of the things that my friends did. And yet I knew that some of the things that they did were not glorifying to God. And I tried to live with one foot in both camps just for a while. But when I left school at 18, I said, that's it. I'm following the Lord with all my heart. And it's far easier to do that than it is to try and live with a foot in both camps. Because if you live with a foot in both camps, those camps are moving away. And so what does it do? It tears you apart. It destroys you. Jesus said, the scripture says that you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Love the Lord thy God with all. And that's what God wants us to do, is to love him with all our hearts. Turn into the New Testament. We'll go into 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read from verse 10. The Apostle Paul here is speaking with his son in the Lord, Timothy, who he's been training for the ministry. And in verse 10, he says, you, however, know all about my teaching. Teaching is very important. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As we've said before, teaching and preaching in the church will never go out of fashion. Can never be replaced. So important that we are taught God's word. He goes on, he says, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Hallelujah. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, we didn't want to hear that, did we? Could we not take that verse out? I thought we were talking about abundance. You see, that's why you have to know what the Bible also says. Because if you just take the good bits, you know, the nice bits, I will supply all your needs through riches in Christ. Oh, yes, Lord, please, yes. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Yes, please, Lord, yes. We like those bits. But we must also understand that Jesus said that you will have blessing with trouble, tribulation. And here the Apostle Paul lays it clearly down for Timothy, this young man who is training to be in ministry. And he says, look, Timothy, you must understand that if you want to live a life, a godly life for Jesus, you will be persecuted. And when we make a stand for the word of God, we will be persecuted. You begin to lay it on your line, on the line in God's word, and people will leave the church. Because there comes a line that happens to everybody at some time in their life when they have to make a choice. And they have to decide, am I going to live for Jesus or am I going to continue in the kingdom of Satan? Am I going to cross the line, live for Jesus? Am I going to sell all, give up all and follow him? Am I going to take up my cross and follow him? And when we begin to preach such a message, it's not popular. But it's what the Bible says. Jesus said, if any man would follow after me, let him take up his cross. Now, what does a cross signify? First of all, it signifies shame, because the death on the cross was utterly shameful. There was a man naked, dying in front of the whole world. He had to carry his cross through the streets until he reached the place of crucifixion. Everybody would be jeering and spitting and jostling and shouting, ah, look at the criminal. He's getting what he deserves. So shameful was the death on a cross. And it was also very, very painful. One of the most gruesome ways of execution that has ever been dreamed up by mankind is the death on the cross. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. And so we've got to take with one hand the blessing of eternal life, the riches in Christ Jesus that we talked about a few weeks ago. On one hand, we've got to take those riches and say, they're mine. All of heaven is mine. All of the love and the grace of God is mine. Everything that God has is mine. I am a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Those things belong to me. Heaven is my home. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is my Father. Jesus is my elder brother. And then on the other hand, we've got to say, but now I've got to take up the shame and the stigma and the persecution and the suffering and the pain of living a Christian life in a society that is going to hate me for it. And that's what Paul is telling this young man. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While even evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, yesterday we were talking about this at my mum and dad's house. That the nature of deception is the person who is deceived does not know that they are deceived. If they knew they were being deceived, they wouldn't be deceived anymore. Amen. And so the devil has done an incredible job of pulling the darkness over the eyes of our society today, and he has deceived them, and they believe a lie. They believe that all ways lead to God, that one religion is as good as another. Or they believe, like my old boss used to believe, that religion is the cause of all problems in the world and should be completely done away with, which was the communist philosophy. And they believe that a man lives according to his own conscience, according to his own standards. If it feels good, do it. That was the message that was preached to us in the 60s. And it's got worse and worse ever since. And if we want to live for Christ, we must understand that we are dealing with people who are deceived. Deceived. They don't know the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. They believe the lies that the devil has whispered in their ears. And they don't know that they're deceived. If they did, they would wake up like a man waking up from sleep, and they would cast that off, and they would put on the life of Christ. And so they're deceived, they're blinded. The Bible says that the devil takes them captive at his will. And that's the society that we are part of today. A society that is deceived and is becoming more and more deceived as the months and the years go by. And I don't expect that that's going to get any better, because I'm not in this kingdom now theology that believes that the church is going to so increase and expand that we're going to make the world a wonderful place and Christ will come and inherit the kingdom from the church. I don't believe that. It doesn't fit with what I read in the scripture. The Bible says that things are going to get worse, not better. See, that Jehovah's Witness philosophy is this kingdom now, that the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to inherit the earth. But there was a teaching around in the 70s and the 80s in this country that said the same thing. The kingdom now teaching philosophy. But it doesn't fit with the scriptures. It's not in there. You can't find it. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying that the kingdom of God will enter the hearts of men. Not that Christ will set up his throne in London and rule from Buckingham Palace, because he's not going to do that. That's not going to happen. And we are living in a society that is completely deceived. But he goes on there in verse 14, he says, "But as for you and me, we are not deceived." Hallelujah. We are in the truth this morning, the truth of God's word. He says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." Hallelujah. And so the challenge to you and I today is, first of all, to let the word of God into our minds and into our hearts, to convince ourselves of its truth, and then live by it. Live according to its principles. He says in verse 15, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." I praise the Lord for my generation, of which many of my generation went to Sunday school as children and learned the Word of God. I praise the Lord for the children of this fellowship and the other churches up and down our country who are taught the Word of God as children. It's so, so important. Children's ministry, young people's ministry, is not an add-on to the church. It is a vital, vital part of the life of any healthy church. Is that we teach our children, both at home and at church, the Word of God. Here's this young man, Timothy, getting ready to go into the ministry, but he's already been grounded from being a child in the Scriptures. Hallelujah. He knows the Scriptures. And when you know the Scriptures, it's so much easier for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and say, that passage, what does the Scripture say? And speak to us through the Word of God when we know them. Because he says, "You know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise," hallelujah, "for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed, praise the Lord, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training of righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Word of God is going to equip us to be all that we can be in Christ. The Word of God. You know, we're looking for gifts. We're looking for supernatural experiences. We're looking for outpourings. We're looking for infillings. We're looking for baptisms. We're looking for all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that, because they're all scriptural. But at the end of the day, if all those things were taken away and all we had was the Word of God, it would be enough to save us. Amen. If you never speak in tongues, if you never utter a word in prophecy, if you never have a vision, if you never hear the voice of God speaking in your ear, as long as you understand the word of God, tell me the old story. It's enough to get you to heaven. Hallelujah. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now all those gifts we need and we want, please, Lord. Amen. We want those things. The gift of tongues has been a great blessing to me over the years. Saved my life once in the Philippine Islands all those years ago. Literally saved my life, the gift of tongues. And so I'm so grateful to God for those things. But I do understand that if all that was taken, as long as my faith is in God's word, there's enough here to take me to heaven. Hallelujah. There's enough here to make peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I understand that. And I want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has got in store for me. And so I know that I need to know what the Bible says. It is a fact, and I've used this illustration many times, and things are getting ever more complex, that when we get the latest piece of technology, you know, a video recorder, except now they're not video recorders, are they? They're DVD recorders. They're even more complicated. Instead of making things simpler, they give them, you know, you've got now got to two tuners and 190 channels of television to choose from, and it's every one of them's rubbish most of the time. It's incredible, you know. You can flick through all them channels and still not find anything to watch. How sad is that? But it's a fact. And you get your latest piece of technology, and you think, okay, now I want to record the football at 10 o'clock tonight. So you think, oh, so many buttons, so many menus, so much on the remote control. Oh dear, so many leads. SCART lead, component lead, video lead, RF lead. What am I going to do? And so what do? You refer to the manual. Hallelujah. And as long as it's not one of these tacky Japanese translations that makes the wrong English out of the Japanese, which some of them do. So I've had some hilarious ones over the years, you know, where the Japanese has not been correctly translated into English. Put the video recorder in the oven for 10 hours, bake on gas mark 6, you know. Well, you take the manual and you read the manual. And it says, well, this lead goes there and this lead goes there. And then you turn your television onto this and then you press this button and you get the menu up on the screen. And if you do it slowly and carefully and take note of what the manual says, eventually you succeed. And what a feeling of satisfaction. The first time you record something on that new machine and it's actually there when you play it back and you think, that's incredible. And so the next time you do it again, but this time it's a bit quicker. And then you do it again and the next time it's quicker still. And the third or fourth time you do it, you don't need the manual anymore, do you? Because you've learnt it. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Amen. We need to know what it says, and at first we have to perhaps look things up. You know, we get hold of the Gideon's New Testament. Wonderful things. Gideon's New Testament. Wonderful things. And in there, it says what, where to read if you're fearful or sick or, you know, there's a whole load of topics of things there that you can look up, and they've got the scriptures listed. And so you think, oh, Lord, I don't feel so good today. Lord, I feel really down. I feel, oh, you know, Lord, I don't even know if I'm saved. And you open the Gideon's New Testament there. What to do, what to read when you have doubts. and you read the word, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. Hallelujah. You say, praise the Lord. Then you read the next one up. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's me. So now I know I'm saved. Doesn't matter what the devil tells me. I'm saved because the word of God tells me so. But you see, the next time the enemy comes along and whispers in your ear, you're not really saved. You know the scriptures that have made you wise. Hallelujah. You don't need to necessarily look it up in the manual because it's already there. Praise the Lord. It's so important that we study this word. We're running out of time, so we'll turn into Deuteronomy. Go right back towards the beginning of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hallelujah. I mean, this whole chapter is a chapter of great wisdom, but we can only read a few verses this morning. We'll read from verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. Hallelujah. You see, when we understand the words of God, then we begin to reverence him. Amen. We begin to realize he isn't the same as Allah or Buddha or any other religion on the planet. We begin to revere Almighty God. We begin to understand this is God we're talking about here. This is not a man that he should lie. This is God. This is the great creator. The one who made everything, called everything to being just by the word of his voice. And we begin to live according to his word. Amen. According to his word. And when we do that, we can expect that the blessings of his word will be ours. We can expect that God will honor his word in our lives. That he will be faithful to his word. That as we read it and we absorb it, it becomes like food to our spirits. Causes us to grow, to be strengthened in God. Every athlete knows that you need both diet and exercise. You need to eat a healthy diet, and you need to exercise the muscles. If we're going to run this race for Christ, we need to eat a diet of the Word of God, and we need to flex the muscles of faith. Hallelujah. Because faith takes the Word and applies it to our own heart. We can take the Word and apply it to other people very easily. Ah, God, but what about him? The disciples did that. Yes, Lord, but what about him? And Jesus said, you never mind about him. If him is still alive when I come back, that's up to me. You see, the word of God is not to be applied to other people. It's to be applied to my heart first. Take the log out of your own eye, so that you can see to take the speck out of your brother's. Amen. First deal with your own log, then we can start dealing with other people's sawdust. Hallelujah. And that's how God intends it to be. And finally this morning, Romans, back into the New Testament. Chapter 15. Verse 4, Romans 15. Let's read from verse 1. Romans is such a good book. Romans 15 verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. We dealt with that in our house group a few months ago. What's acceptable to you might be sin to your neighbor. Amen. And we have to live clean and holy so that we don't drag others down. He was talking about food sacrificed to idols. One believed it was abominable. Another believed it was quite right. And the Apostle Paul said it's a matter of conscience. What does your conscience teach you in this? But he said if you eating food that's been sacrificed to idols is going to cause offense to your brother, then don't eat it. Amen. Don't eat it. Now we can look at our own lives and say, if me doing something is going to cause an offense to my brother, then I won't do it for the sake of my brother. Amen. Think about that. So we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. For it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. Everything was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance, you're going to need some endurance, amen, and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so, my challenge to us this morning is not just to get your teaching on a Sunday morning, but go away and read the Word. Meditate upon it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By meditating on the Word of God. And so go away, read a passage, think about it. See, one of the things that we do wrong sometimes is we read the scriptures like we would read a novel. To, you know, oh, I want to read the whole of Jeremiah today. And by the time you've got to chapter 10, your head's going, and it's not making sense anymore. But if you were to read perhaps chapters 1 and 2 and say, now, Lord, what can I learn from this? And sit down a while and just in the quietness and just think about those verses that you've read. And then tomorrow read chapter 3. You know, if you've got no kind of Bible program reading at all, then may I suggest that you read a gospel, then read a letter. In other words, read Matthew, then read Romans, then come back to Mark, and then read another letter, and then come back to Luke, and then read another letter, and then come back to John, and then read another letter, and then come back to Matthew again. Amen. I find it very, very helpful that if I've been studying perhaps Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or something for a month or two, to then go back to the Gospels and see what Jesus said. Amen. And I never leave it too long without reading through one of the Gospels. Reading it just maybe 2 or 3 chapters a day and saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to me on today? Hallelujah. Don't start with Revelation. Don't start with Genesis either. Start with a Gospel. The words that are in red in some Bibles are the most important words because they're the words that Jesus spoke. Hallelujah. But all scripture we've just read is God-breathed. And it's all there to bring us into that place of spiritual wisdom where we are no longer deceived by the lies of the enemy. Where things that are acceptable today to society are no longer acceptable because we understand what God says. It's not what we say, it's not what the church says, it's not what the assemblies of God says or anybody else. It's what does God say about this? And that is what we've got to base our life and our standards upon. Amen. Father, we just thank you that your word has never changed. Lord, we thank you that it is still our guide. It is still capable of keeping us, even in this mess that we live in today. Lord, we know the truth and the truth has set us free. And we rejoice in that this morning. Lord, we pray tonight as we come again to hear the message of the Alpha course, Lord, as we consider again the working of your Holy Spirit tonight in our hearts and lives, we pray for ears to hear what you would say to us. So bless us this week, watch over us, keep us safe, Lord, provide for our needs, heal our sicknesses. Lord, use us as channels, as vessels unto honor this week. Lord, that we will be ready and willing and able to be used of you. Father, teach us through your word. Inspire us through your spirit. Father, do us good, we pray, because we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Please don't forget that Jill needs anything for the newsletter in by today.